You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Continue, O Lord, to reveal yourself to us. Be in our ears and in our minds and in our hearts. Amen. The text for this sermon we find in the middle of this long passion reading, where we are told the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. We began our service today marking Jesus Christ's office as king. Though within that, we find the narrative takes an illogical turn, for we do not find his final destination in Jerusalem to be a throne, but that of a cross and that of a borrowed tomb. In between these moments, and this is what I want to talk about, we find Jesus completely and totally alone, surrounded by agitators and agents of cosmic wrongdoing who mean this man harm. We find him alone. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about Jesus on trial. For it is my thesis that for any human being, this text is relatable. This text is empirically true. And I believe that it might have something to say to us in our lives today. Now, the scriptures we find have a great deal to say about Jesus and his humanity. St. John says that the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Psalm 8 rhetorically asks the question, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him?" The writer of the Hebrews declares that Jesus is fully able to empathize with our humanity because he was one. He was a man. He was a human being. Which means that this text is not just about him. This text is about you. We find Jesus the man on trial, totally alone. And without question, I guarantee there have been times and instances in your life whereby you have felt as if you were on trial, and in times and felt you have felt totally alone. If I were to ask you today, have you felt like you have ever been on trial? What would you say? Well, yes, I feel in a major way, in a major part of my life right now, that I feel like I am on trial. Or would you say, no, I have never felt that way before. Can we trade lives? There was this one time long ago when I didn't know that I was going to get out of a trial. Life itself felt like a hung jury. But by some miracle, that instance is past. Now, if the answer to the question is yes, and in any respect, I ask you, did you enjoy that time? Or if you're in that place now, are you compelled to do anything to hear a positive verdict? Anything to hear a positive verdict when you are on trial. Of course, those trials look different for each and every one of us, but the great commonality in them, in whatever life throws at you, and whatever the word trial looks like for you, we know what it feels like to be on trial. In 9 cases out of 10, which is completely and totally marked by injustice towards me. Why am I being mistreated? What has life done to throw me this curveball? What did I do to deserve this? We, like all people, we want justice to reign in life and fairness towards ourselves. Yet we know at the end of the day, as great as our lives might be, you and I have stories where life feels like a great injustice, where you and I have been surrounded by agitators of circumstance or agents of cosmic harm, spiritual, emotional, literal, that do mean you harm. We feel that, and we feel totally alone. mean, we have great empathy of stories that point to people that have been marked by great injustice. I mean, we all remember the Green Mile, where John Coffey, an innocent man with divine powers, executed for crimes he didn't commit, but actually sought to prevent. We remember Harry Potter and the sham kangaroo court seeking to do away with him and anyone who dared speak against Voldemort, who had risen to power. Jesus, the man, we find in this narrative, this passion narrative, smack in the middle of it, we find him on trial alone, totally alone, totally marked by injustice. And when we are on trial, with whatever that is for you, we feel alone. We feel that acutely. You could tell me chapter and verse about times in your life whereby you have felt on trial and totally alone. That's the first thing that I have to say today. The second is this. The curious thing about injustice, and we see this all the way through this in this passion narrative, the curious thing about injustice is that those who are carrying out the justice at hand, the man, as it were, they feel as though they are doing the right thing. They will not stop what they're doing. Or they are doing so in order to cover their own sense of injustice. I mean, just to make this a little close to home, to fit into the geopolitical narrative of your lives in your home, we see this in sibling dynamics all the time with your kids. Do they want justice to reign supreme when they feel wronged by their siblings? Adult siblings. Have you gotten calls from your adult siblings? My brother did this. I feel wronged. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. I have a twin brother, and you can ask my mother how I feel about my justice meter. It runs quite high all the time. From the second I was born, life with my brother, everything had to be 50-50. I don't like it when things feel unjust or unfair. But the curious thing about when justice hits your doorstep, injustice hits your doorstep, whatever that is for you, whenever that is for you, from life itself, from another person, from a social dynamic, is that it has a gravitational pull that's bigger than you are. It's not stopping. And you can rest assured from the other party's activity, it will feel like the right thing to them. As Christians, when we talk about a fractured or a broken world, this is what we're talking about. This is human conflict 101. Ask Pontius Pilate how he felt about a Jewish mob inciting a local rebellion. Ask the chief priests and the scribes, seemingly the purest of the pure, religiously speaking, how they felt about a person claiming to be the Son of God. How did they feel about that? But when it hits your doorstep, as it hit Jesus of Nazareth's doorstep, a first century man, humanly speaking, from a little backwater town in Roman Judea, when you are on trial, you will feel it. And you have felt it. And you will feel totally alone. We find Jesus helpless here. We find him wanting to not be alone, yet his disciples abandon him. His disciples fall asleep when he's wanting them to pray with him. We find that he is mocked here by chief priests who spit at him, who slap him, who tell him to prophesy mockingly, provokingly. And in their minds, they are doing the right thing. The third thing that I would like to say in light of all of this is to ask a question, which is to say, when we are on trial in life, when we feel totally alone, when the arrows are drawn, what do we usually have to contribute? Our fears, our doubts, our paranoia, our attempts to get out of something that we're not going to get out of, our existential crises, our venting. What do we see here of the man in Matthew 26? The man on trial. Cross-examined by the high priests regarding his single biggest claim against him, he says, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God. The only thing that he has to offer is to say, you have said so. The man on trial, surrounded by enemies, surrounded by his betrayers, in the absence of being surrounded by those who have abandoned him, the man on trial in Matthew 26 is the freest person in the room. For as he continues, you have said so, but I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He does not call himself the Son of God, though he is, rather the Son of Man. As the freest person in the room, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, took on human form to enter into our darkness, to enter into darkness itself, to enter into our trials, to enter into our sense of aloneness, to enter into our injustices, that we will not be alone. Today we begin a one-way trip towards the death of Christ on a cross, when he was most alone, most abandoned by even God his Father. And for what? Because while we are in this world, there will be times when you will be on trial. There will be times when you will be alone. Yet the Son of Man walked through the door of aloneness to the highest degree, so when the arrows are drawn, you might say to yourself, I am not alone, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are one, O Lord, who is not unable to sympathize with me, for you are the light that shines in my darkness, the darkness of Passion Sunday, the darkness of Maundy Thursday, darkness of Good Friday and into the tomb, the darkness that I find myself in. You walked through that door not for a faceless person. You walked through that door for me. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.